sustainability and the green movement. Giant Eagle. There's a Giant Eagle in town that has a living roof. That blows my mind. I never thought I would see that in this town.
Give us a good working definition of the term that's been thrown around too much, sustainability.
Oh, boy. Yeah, if I had one, I'd be a millionaire.
No, just a working definition.
A working definition. Sustainability is, you know, can you do what you're doing indefinitely? Can you sustain it? Is it... And corporations talk about that in terms of their profit margin. Oh, we're making, you know, 10% profit a year. How do we sustain that? How do we reach sustainability? But on another level, I think in terms of sustainability on a home level, on an individual level, and where people are at, you know, the people of the city of Pittsburgh, not the corporations that have made this their home, but the people that live here and work here, sustainability becomes that integrated set of systems that keeps us alive. You know, we truck in our food from California. You know, we depend on a steady supply of clean air from somewhere else because of the pollution. You know, all the cars driving around, and I guess they've shut down the coke mills, but still, you know, clean water, you know, healthy food with the nutritional, with that level of nutrition that doesn't give school children attention deficit disorder. You know, these are the elements of sustainability.
The systems that allow us to live.
Exactly. And in many ways, you know, Pittsburgh is actively developing that. You know, there's everything from those rooftop, what do you call them, the rain catchment barrels. You know, the 9 Mile Run Watershed Association will set you up with a rain barrel so that, you know, the sewer systems don't explode every time it rains. That can be taken a step further, and that becomes the water that you're taking a shower with. And then the water from the shower can be used to water your garden if you're growing food in your backyard. And closing some of those loops. You know, we have a real leaky system where water has a single use, and then it goes back to the sewage treatment plant and gets dosed with a bunch more chemicals and comes back, you know, full of chemicals.
And if we shower together...
Well, there's that, exactly.
Save water.
Shower with a friend, yeah. So, yeah, you know, building those systems that sustain us, that build connections with each other, with people, you know, on a neighborhood scale, on a community scale, and that develops to a citywide scale and we'll call it a countywide scale. You know, you can look at a satellite map of Pittsburgh and get a sense of how big the problem is. Here's the big concrete patch down in the southwest corner of the state. Let's pretend that that they stop trucking food from California. Let's pretend that you know, it really becomes a system of, you know, that year, what year was that the power went out on the whole East Coast? You know, people are scrambling to try to retrofit the grid. We create a smart grid of electricity. Well, if that grid happens to shut down for any length of time, that means that the sewage treatment pumps stop working and all that stuff leaks out into, you know, the low-lying neighborhoods, and that's going to be a real big problem. We're right back to the city of London with the Black Plague and the cholera epidemics, you know, and when people first started living in large groups, there were some real disease problems that we, in our modern age, take for granted because we're just a generation or two removed from that. But I tell you, that is a light switch away.
When people say that we have, you know, 4 or 5 years left and then it's irreversible and Miami's going to be under 50 feet of water, I mean, that's something that I have heard too much of, you know, that the
sure.
end of the world is near. And there's even a book written about how that every 25 to 50 years, there's a new theory of how the world's going to end.
Yeah.
I personally like to keep my apocalyptic views religious, but I mean, how does this fit into, I mean, do we have a lot of time? Is it urgent? How urgent is it?
We're given a new day every day. I think it's really unfortunate that the driving force for sustainability is fear and those kind of apocalyptic scenarios. You know, if as a religious person, maybe the Garden of Eden and the idyllic life that is sort of implied in that creation story, that's the ground beneath our feet. You know, that's the starting point of civilization. We can create those systems because it's a good way to live, because it provides for people's needs. You know, there's no unemployment in a farming community. There's work to be done. You know, people are busy and people are happy and connected with each other. It's not until you get into the urbanization. Prime example, in Athens in 2004-2005, here comes the big box retailer coming to build on the edge of town, right? The big Walmart. And the town, you know, was active in trying to fight that and wasn't successful ultimately, but was successful and is still successful. There's a lot going on in that community now in terms of urban development and city planning and long-term planning for the future. Well, one of the concerns that was raised as Walmart is being built, there's a direct correlation with an increase in crime rates. You know, and it's not because Walmart causes crime. I mean, there's a cause and effect there that's tempting to hold up like a, you know. But the take-home message there is that those kinds of problems, those are uniquely urban problems. Now that we have these urban systems, now that we live in an urban civilization, you know, and increasingly so, the interesting thing is that the urban decay presents a way of or an opportunity to address some of those issues. You know, as you get all these empty lots and everything, each one of those empty lots is work to be done, whether it's a new house to be built to deal with people that don't have housing and to deal with those issues, or whether it's an opportunity to install some kind of food system in place, plant an orchard, you know, plant some medicinal herbs, you know, provide healthcare at that kind of level, and provide for some healthy living. The calming effect of the color green in that kind of immediate experiential day-to-day reality, that's going to go a long way, and that's a lot cheaper than 10 new people on the police force and a lot more effective.
My goodness, this is a lot of good content, and that's what we're missing. Obviously, there's a lot of slogan tearing going on. There's a new professional green activist being born every 15 seconds, which is very frightening. And there's different ways that people are trying to make money off of the green movement. It's really good to hear all this. So do you have any maple songs for us to end our show?
A song. Let's switch to a song. What can I play? You know, as a songwriter, I was pleased with that opus. But I'm also a song collector. Let's break some copyright laws, shall we?
Every day. That's why copyright laws were made.
Where the bottles break and the blacktop still comes back for more. I walk where the bottles break and the blacktop still comes back. I live where the neighbors yell and their music comes up through the floor. I live where the neighbors yell and their music wakes me up. Life beyond the playground fence, serious as basketball. Life beyond the playground fence is serious.
4 blocks from the steel mill blast, I paint my claim upon the wall. 4 blocks from the steel mill blast, I paint my claim. My end of the South Side drag, it's a common thought to call the cops. Further west, it's been gentrified. They turn biker bars into flower shops. I kinda miss those Harley guys who rarely did a body harm. Mostly like to drink and shout, flash the pictures on their arm. Wild and poor gets pushed aside. It happens when the money comes, the poor get pushed. The buyers come from out of state, they raise the rent so you can't hide. Buyers come from out of state, they raise the rent. Buy low, low, sell high, get rich and you still die. Money talks and people jump, ask how life, pro-life, Donald, what's his name? And who cares? And I don't give a damn what his girlfriend doesn't wear. It's a shame that people that work gotta hear about this kind of jerk. Just are, they want to feel like they count and ride in their own car. People aren't saints, no, people just are, they want to feel like they count and ride in their own car. I just want to make enough to buy this town and keep it rough. I just want to make enough to buy this town. Ask how like low-life Donald, what's his name? And who cares? And I don't give a damn what his girlfriend doesn't wear. It's a shame that people that work gotta hear about this kind of jerk. Ooh. Well, I walk where the bottles break, and the blacktop still comes back for more. I walk where the bottles break, and the blacktop still comes back.
Thank you, Matt. That was wonderful. This is Vincent Irene from the beautiful city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You're listening to Blast Furnace Radio. Blast Furnace Radio, the only radio station on that superhighway. Thank you. Once again, you're listening to The River.